Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 20th day of October 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Hear about the economics of storing corn and soybeans in the state of Iowa from Chad Hart, actually for the whole of the Midwest. He's an Iowa State University ag economist. And then we'll take up the weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, as we close out our half hour together. But before we get there, we'll talk more about the weather forecast, actually the weather patterns in Brazil. That with Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather in Chicago on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Hear how the numbers finished in Chicago at the CME Group. December contract in the corn pit up 3.75 today at $3.76 3/4. The March at 3.87 1/4, 3.5 higher in May. Up 3 cents at 3.93 1/2 for the afternoon. July at 3.98, up 2 1/4. December corn 4.03 1/4, up 2 1/4 from the soy complex. November soybeans were higher today, up 5 cents at $8.96. January at $9.01, 5.5 higher. The March up 5.5 at 9.04. May beans up a nickel at 9.08, and the November of next year at $9.03, up 4 3/4. Bean meal futures down $1.30. They finished at 3.09.50. The bean oil at 28.66, up 52. December soft red winter wheat at 4.91 1/4, 5.5 higher. July at 5.05 1/4, up 4 1/4. That's the harvest month, of course. The hard red July up 3 3/4 at $5.11 1/2. Feeder cattle, October contract at $194.62 1/2, 37.5 cents lower. November, that was up 57.5 at $192.72 1/2. The live cattle finished October up $2.15 at $140.42 1/2, and December up $1.90 at $143.55. Lean hogs for the day, December contract $2.25 higher, rather $2.22 1/2 higher at $68.20, and the February there at $69.07 1/2, $1.10 higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. We created the Farm Assets Conference just for you. We hope that you'll enjoy that conference. It's coming up the 24th day of November. Tickets are on sale now for just $30 at farmassets.com.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Here's what some of the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil trading the November contract down a nickel a barrel at $45.84. Ethanol futures at $1.54 3/10, $0.01 8/10 higher. The wholesale price of gasoline at $1.27 9/10, up 2 7/10, and heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.45 1/10, that's 0.2 cents higher. Natural gas at $2.48 2/10 is up 4 cents at this hour. Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,139 is up 24 points. The U.S. dollar at 94.935, down 0.18 for the afternoon. And the gold futures for the day are currently trading at $1,176. They're up $3.20. The weather forecast shows us this afternoon and this evening we'll have sunny skies and 79 degrees, and then cloudy skies, mostly that is, in 53, both on a south wind that will be rather gusty from 15 to 17. Wednesday, we'll have sunny skies with a high of 77. Those south-southwest winds will remain with us and gust all the way to 25 during the day. Tomorrow, partly cloudy tomorrow evening, will drop to a low of 56. Winds again out of the south southwest at 8 to 10, gusting to 15. They'll start to lay down as they turn to the north on Thursday, and we'll have a 72-degree high, actually to the west on Thursday with a 72-degree high, and we'll have 7-mile-an-hour winds. Friday, partly sunny and 70, calm winds. Saturday, a chance of showers, cloudy and 69 for homecoming here at the University of Illinois. More on the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
It's Tuesday, the 20th day of October 2015. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. Wayne Nelson is here from L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, to take a look at the marketplace and how trade happened in Chicago. What a gorgeous day it's been, Wayne, here in the Corn Belt. Hope you've had a good one.
Hey, it's been a beautiful day for weather here, and the guys that aren't done harvesting sure got a real break again this week, as being able to just fly through the fields and get that last grain in and out there. So, you know, like I say, unless you're in this area that's backed up in Iowa or Minnesota or the Dakotas where the lines are long, well, I think harvest has got done faster and easier than I've ever seen it go through.
Well, I have a question about that, because I have not heard about lines any place, at least in our part of the world. A lot of capacity has been built. Have you heard or seen lines in other parts of the Corn Belt?
You know, not that we've been really familiar with. You know, we see pictures every now and then of great big piles of beans outside at some elevators or some big piles of corn in Iowa in certain places. But, you know, we just aren't seeing the piles of corn around over in our area, and people are finishing up and a lot of the areas are getting done. You know, we had a good bean harvest. Wasn't as bad as expected in most cases. But those beans are, you know, put away and hauled in, and most of the elevators are still crying a little bit that they aren't going to get full this year of corn. So, you know, we're just thinking that we're a corn deficit area over here for sure.
Well, there's one of the things that I had, actually a couple of things that I had in mind that we might discuss today. First, I don't ever really recall seeing piles of soybeans out and about, although that's been the case this year in at least a couple of places. It's an awfully big crop and an awfully good crop. What does that mean, do you suppose, if anything, that farmers should consider over the next several months?
Well, I think, you know, when we see those piles of beans like that, they can't leave those out for a very long period of time because we know how beans store in wet weather.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I'm thinking if you don't want to think of, if you haven't marketed your beans already, you don't want to think of, you either have to save them a long time so you get past those piles, or be marketing whenever you see a basis opportunity. So, and we're not seeing that as much, but boy, we're seeing some opportunities in the corn over here now. There's as much as 22 over for November delivery corn over here at some of the ethanol plants, some things like that. I know that some of the Andersons and some of their writings they put out is saying, you know, look for some of these basis opportunities before the first of the year, because 80% of the farmers don't like to sell anything if they put it in their bins at home. So, you know, but if you can get it paid for in the short period of time, better, well, you might take advantage of that if you need cash flow.
What are the things you've been watching on the global scope of things? What's happening around the world?
Well, of course, China continues to buy a lot of beans. They've been great customers here. Announcement seems like every day. You know, we're watching the weather in South America where it's been too wet and part of the area and too dry in part of the area. And that, of course, is holding things back. We're watching the big lineup of boats to load down in Brazil in the back up there. And I think that's helping to bring the Chinese to the U.S. To buy some beans here for right now as we go along, too. But basically, the other thing we're looking at is the weather, of course, over the Ukraine and Russia and Australia, and the dryness there also. So, you know, they're supposedly forecast to get some showers, but they're 5 to 10 days out in a lot of cases, and we want to see how much moisture falls. That, of course, has been helping the wheat market as we go along.
Transportation has not been a problem domestically, or at least in the United States, for this season. It seems that the trains have been available, and we've been moving up and down the rivers pretty simply. However, there are a couple of snafus that could surprise the marketplace. One of them is already happening, some dry weather in the Midwest, which caused a tow at Quincy to, I don't know, to ground, and that closed some locks, and that closed up the Mississippi River for a bit. It may still be closed on the Mississippi near Quincy. I don't know how much of a consequence that is, but the dry weather could be a problem. And it is could slow, of course, traffic going up and down the Mississippi River, other rivers in the United States. And then there's the train situation that Congress has to take care of by the end of the year. Otherwise, we're going to stop traffic for a while on the rails, and that would be a problem just about the time we start to need to move in January and February corn by rail.
Yeah, that's a big deal to get straightened around, because they can't get all those safety regulation things that they put in that had to be taken care of by the end of the year. It's physically impossible to get them done that soon. And, you know, just a little bit of unreasonableness by Congress once again, and hopefully they'll see you to get that done. They are limiting the amount, the width of barges and the number of barges in a tow going down the river now. Because of that, I think a total of 36 barges and no more than 6 wide, Todd. And I think they should be opening up tomorrow in the Quincy area. But that did raise the corn basis at the Gulf because of that couple cents here this morning.
All right. Thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson, of course, is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It's the 20th day of October on the 24th day of November. I hope to see you in Normal, Illinois at our Farm Assets Conference that's coming up. And it's coming up soon. If you'd like to buy tickets, you can always buy them online. You can go to two places. One is our willag.org website right at the top of the page, or at least at the top of the notes section of the page. Underneath all of the audio you want to listen to, you'll find the Farm Assets Conference and a link to simply buy the tickets right away. Or you can dial 800-898-1065. They're just $30. Or you can visit farmassetsconference.com. You'll find all the details, including the agenda, and some more about each of the panels that we will have. Of course, many of our analysts will be on hand, including Sue Martin, at this Farm Assets Conference. And if you'd like to come, it's just $30. You can pick up your tickets today. Do that online or by dialing 800-898-1062. Let's take a look at today's agricultural news. Pork is back on the menu now for the nation's federal prisons. That's after the Bureau of Prisons came under fire for removing it. However, not all pork is back. Pork roast is back on the menu after complaints from the pork industry and Iowa U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley. He's the chair of the Judiciary Committee, whose panel oversees prisons. The Bureau of Prisons cited prisoner dislike for pork in surveys and pork costs for its removal decision last week. But that Bureau has already dropped bacon, pork chops, and sausages in the past 2 years. National Pork Producer spokesman Dave Warner comments on the decision to single out pork roast.
Pork loin is a higher value cut than sausage and bacon, so it wouldn't be a bad thing to have it on the menu. But I would think that an awful lot of people love bacon. Actually, I believe it's the universal meat. So I would think that prisoners and federal facilities would like to have bacon.
The National Pork Producers Council and Senator Grassley both asked the Prison Bureau for survey information used in their decision. Grassley, but not the National Pork Producers Council, also asked for cost data. Warner says the council already knows that pork is cheaper than beef and is about on par with chicken. Grassley also asked the Bureau for line item costs for each of the surveys completed. We're going to work our way through groceries in today's Ag News. One of the nation's largest supermarket-style stores could squeeze suppliers for price cuts on everything from sports equipment to groceries. Reuters reports Walmart stores' earnings numbers suggest more price cuts and reduced cost-sharing deals. Last week, Walmart stunned Wall Street by forecasting that its earnings would decline by as much as 12% in its next fiscal year. Officials for a top recruiting firm for Walmart suppliers said suppliers are going to have to help Walmart get back on track. That despite the fact Walmart still generates more than $340 billion of annual sales in the United States, accounting for more than 10% of the total retail market. However, to risk having brands kicked off Walmart shelves because of a dispute over pricing can badly hurt a supplier. Well, coffee bean growers in Colombia are facing higher labor costs and harvesting delays as pickers are leaving for better-paying construction jobs. That, according to Bloomberg, the labor troubles are also leading to more increased pest pressure. Producers of the Arabica beans, brewed by companies like Starbucks, are now paying workers twice as much compared to 2 years ago, and harvest delays mean the coffee beans are often left on the trees longer and tend to fall to the ground. When the coffee beans reach the ground, they become open to beetles that can bore into them. Head of the Andes Coffee Cooperative, Juan David Rendon, told Bloomberg that infrastructure in Colombia has been demanding a lot of manpower. The cooperative represents coffee growers who farm the equivalent of 86,000 acres. The labor situation is likely to get tougher as the country seeks to improve more roads through 2018. And finally today, we'll stay with groceries, at least food-grade wheat, that is. India has again increased its wheat import tax as a poor harvest raises the prospect for higher import demand. Agrimani reports India has managed without significant imports for years as the world's second-largest wheat producer, but shortages of high-quality wheat triggered a rise in imports already this year. In August, India imposed a wheat import duty for the first time in 8 years after reported wheat imports from Australia. USDA forecast Indian wheat imports over the 2015-16 marketing year at 800,000 tons. That's the largest since the 2007-08 marketing year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You know, they say it's best to keep your friends close and your, let's go with competitors in the soybean market, even closer. So, to that end, here's how weather patterns in Brazil generally unfold year in and year out. The Brazilian climate is unique. It's unlike anything that occurs in the United States. However, this country is still poised to become the world's most productive source of soybeans. Expected to unseat the United States in 2017, though that could happen as early as next year. Farmers in the state of Mato Grosso grow most of the soybeans in Brazil. Their winter months, unlike what happens in the U.S., from New Orleans to Minneapolis and Columbus to Omaha, are bone dry, says University of Illinois alum and agricultural meteorologist Mike Tenora.
Remember, their winter is in June, July, and August. During that entire period, they only receive around 1 to maybe 1.5 inches of rain, so that's pretty dry. You go forward into the middle of their summer, which again would be December, January, and February, and they're getting somewhere around 10 inches of rain per month.
Crops in the U.S. are strained in the summer if more than 6 inches of rain falls per month, says Tenora. His Chicago-based company, T-Storm Weather, specializes in agricultural weather forecasting. During the springtime, he says U.S. farmers plant on schedule, by the calendar, when the weather is open. This is not how things work in Brazil.
Since it's basically bone dry during the winter, you need to have some rain in the beginning of the season to get planting started. If you don't, your seed will just sit there and it won't do anything. It needs moisture. They have a very sandy type of soil that's unique to them as compared to us. This is a monsoonal type climate that they move into. They don't see long-term droughts as frequently as we would see in the U.S., or as in most areas of the world. So it's not a matter of if it's going to rain, it's a matter of when.
A delay in the rainfall does not have a great impact on the first crop planted for the season. This is generally soybeans. However, a delayed planting does have an impact on the second crop Brazilian farmers plant. Sometimes this is corn.
If the early crop, which is being planted now or will be planted shortly, gets planted way too late, then the second crop would start to have some problems because that crop would not get enough rain at the end of its growing season.
The takeaway then is this. Soybean farmers in Brazil will plant a crop every year. It could be delayed as they wait for rainfall to replenish soil moisture, even deep into December. Brazil rarely suffers growing season droughts, so that first crop is likely to be a good one. The second crop, should the first have gone in late, is far more suspect and could seasonally run out of water. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. The Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. There you can buy your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference. I hope you get them right away. They're just $30. The Farm Assets Conference is Tuesday, November the 24th. That's the Tuesday before Thanksgiving in Normal, Illinois, at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. Visit farmassetsconference.com or dial this number to get your tickets, 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. Now, let's turn our attention to the crop in Iowa, at least to the agricultural economist in Iowa. You know, USDA's most recent crop production and supply and demand report, that from the month of September, continues to reverberate throughout the markets. That report estimated the corn yield at about 168 bushels to the acre, corn production at 13.6 billion bushels total, the third largest on record. Iowa State University Extension Ag Economist Chad Hart calls it a heck of a corn crop.
They lowered our acreage down a little bit, but ended up raising that yield. And in the end, yeah, we're still staring at the third largest corn crop we've ever had, following the last 2 years, which have been the two largest corn crops we've ever seen.
And while there is harvest pressure in the corn price right now, Hart says market signals indicate demand will strengthen in the months ahead.
The key to me right now is when you look at the futures market, you do see some carry building into the marketplace. So you are seeing this market getting ready to reward some storage of this crop going forward, you know, getting us back to around a $4 price by the time we get out there to July.
USDA forecast U.S. soybean production at 3.9 billion bushels with an average yield of 47.2 bushels to the acre. Hart says a strong U.S. dollar and weakening currencies in other countries paint a rather bleak portrait for all U.S. exports, including soybeans, in his opinion.
They're seeing their domestic price fall here, the U.S. price, but it's not falling fast enough, if you will, to keep up with the drops we're seeing with our competing markets, such as Brazil or Argentina on the soybean side. Plus, you add in the currency variation here, where the dollar, again, getting stronger against not only the Brazilian real, but against almost any currency you want to pick on right now across the world. And so what that does is it puts us at a pricing disadvantage in all of our export markets, and it lowers that export demand, whether I'm looking at soybeans or corn, cattle or hogs.
As farmers consider whether to store or sell soybeans, Hart says the market signals don't favor storage for that crop.
Right now, the futures market is sort of screaming, if you're going to bring us beans, bring them to us now, because we're not offering any sort of real carry as we look out there. Basically, the November price is within a nickel of where the March price is. You know, May is only 3 cents above that. So you're not seeing any sort of incentive, at least building up in the futures market, to say, store that bean crop.
That's Chad Hart, an ag economist with Iowa State University Extension. His audio was collected for us, and the story written by Dan Skelton, who's at KICD out of Spencer, Iowa, a farm broadcaster with the National Association of Farm Broadcasting. Our thanks to them. Well, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. A couple of quick items. We're getting ready to start our meeting season. Of course, you know about the Farm Assets Conference, farmassetsconference.com. Get your tickets there for just $30 or 800-898-1065. That's 1065, 898-1065, an 800 number. But more importantly, if you're scheduling a meeting and you'd like to have one of our Will Ag Outlook marketing panels show up, you can give me a call or just visit our website and find my contact information. Be glad to come out and talk to you a little bit about those meetings. We can schedule those for the months of November, December, January, February, and all the way into March. Thanks so much. Looking forward to hearing from you. And if you have questions, please do visit the website. Make some contacts with me. My name is Todd
Gleason. Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community, and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
It's National Branded Fruit Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1803, the U.S. Senate ratified the Louisiana Purchase. The acquisition included the entire western Corn Belt and most of the wheat-producing states in the U.S. Thomas Jefferson decided to make the purchase because he felt uneasy about France and Spain having the power to block American trade access to the port of New Orleans. In 1930, The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes premiered on NBC Radio. You may not know this, but the sleuth had a green thumb. In his last story, we learned that though Holmes is crippled by occasional attacks of rheumatism, he has for many years lived on a small farm 5 miles from Eastbourne, where his time is divided between philosophy and agriculture. And in 1970, Norman Borlaug received the Nobel Peace Prize for his contribution to the Green Revolution. An American agricultural pioneer, he increased grain production throughout the Third World by perfecting and introducing new strains of wheat and rice crops. And he conceived the World Food Prize, awarded each fall for improving the world's food supply or access to it. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 20th day of October. Hope you picked up your tickets already for the Farm Assets Conference. If not, you can just hit farmassetsconference.com. Again, that's farmassetsconference.com or dial 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. Let's take a look at the weather forecast now with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hi, Don. How are you this afternoon?
Good.
All right. Well, tell me about the weather forecast. Maybe we should start in the southern hemisphere to begin with. Brazil has been dry. That's not unusual for them through the winter months, maybe even through their transitional time. But as they get into the spring, they really do open up some rainfall, and they wait for that to come, especially in parts of Brazil, Mato Grosso in particular. Will they get rain, and how soon?
Well, I think we've got to wait a little bit. I think there will be a little bit of rain activity in Brazil, but it's going to be pretty sparse, where we're expecting an uptick in better chances of rain for South America, especially Brazil, but also Argentina, is going to come later in the forecast. As we get into the latter portions of this week and especially next week and right around the turn of November, looks like a little bit more of a moist pattern for those areas. But up until then, especially for Brazil, it's still going to be dry.
And so planting has begun, but it will move much faster once they get a little rainfall and can be assured that they have moisture in the ground. Let's check in on some other places across the planet that have suffered in the southern hemisphere, in particular Australia, where the wheat crop late in the season wasn't getting very much rain. How are they doing there?
Well, there's a little bit of rain in the forecast for Australia, but as we mentioned last week, when we get it into an El Nino pattern like we have now, Australia is going to tend to be drier than normal. This is something they're going to be facing during their growing season, although there will be some scattered areas of rain, mostly like the moderate routes and some of the key growing areas of the central, the west, and the south.
Now come back to the United States. Tell me about the weather forecast for the Corn Belt.
Well, it's going to be an up and down weather pattern, right as you'd expect the middle to the end of October to be. We're going to see a system that will bring a little bit of a cool down our way. Nothing as strong as that we had late last week, but some cooler temperatures will be moving the Corn Belt, especially by Thursday and Friday. Some of the western areas, the Dakotas, Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, and Missouri, they're going to be getting some rain here by Friday and into Saturday. Then there's going to be a pretty good shot of some cooler air, where I do think the possibility of some frost freeze temperatures again could be moving into the Corn Belt. This would be something to watch as we get into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday nights of next week.
Well, that happens as we change October over to November. Eventually, the air does get colder, but I got to say, it's been a beautiful fall so far, and the mid to high 70s for this week, or at least the beginning of it, are fantastic. And even the low 70s for the rest of this week will be really nice as we begin to see some fall color here. Thanks so much for joining us, and I appreciate all the work you do for us.
All righty. See you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That's Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. This agricultural programming is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.